Your Braille display. Assuming you have a Braille display connected and you configured WindowEyes to use it either during the install or after the install, you will notice that it is always displaying information relative to what is going on. For example, as you move around in Windows or within your application, the display will basically follow important information. The display is not simply showing exactly what your synthesizer is speaking. It is much more intelligent than that. If you do not have a Braille display or do not wish to use it with WindowEyes, feel free to skip this section. As you tab around, the information being displayed can be broken down into three different components. You have control type, field name, and field data. The control type is the type of control you are on, like checkbox, radio button, edit box, etc. The field name is the label associated to the control, like first name, age, phone number, etc. The field data is the actual information in the control, like your actual name, your actual age, or your phone number. By default, the display will show the control type you are in, followed by a blank cell, then the field name, followed by a blank cell, and finally the field data. This is all subject to change depending on your specific likes and wants. WindowEyes supports a wide range of Braille displays. Each display is different in how many cells it supports, if it has routing keys or double routing keys, and the number of buttons and their placement on the display. WindowEyes has default functions for each display. Braille keys will allow you to scroll the display left or right or up or down from what you are currently looking at. You can get detailed attribute information or spacing information or track the mouse. There is a tremendous amount of flexibility in what you want the Braille keys to do, and as you'll find out later in this tutorial, it is extremely easy to configure the display to your exact wants and needs. If your Braille display supports routing keys, you can typically use them to issue a click at the position by default. If you place the mouse on a line in your application that is constantly changing, giving the visual user an up-to-date account of what is happening, you can have the display update with this information as well. By default, a feature known as Quick Message Mode is enabled. Quick Message Mode is a feature that will display information that is typically not displayed on the screen but is voiced. For example, when you press the NumLock or the Caps Lock keys, WindowEyes will speak the current state, like cap on, cap off. There are many more examples like this where something is spoken but nothing is displayed on the screen rendering that speech. But in these cases, whatever was being shown on the display will be replaced with this quick message. After the default of 2 seconds, the display will go back to what was there before the quick message. This is a great way to get the quick speech message without disturbing your normal work. Let's take a quick detour to see how you can determine what keystrokes have been defined for your current Braille display. Currently, as you remember, when I installed WindowEyes, there was no display. I selected none as my display type. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and switch the Braille display to a Braille display that I have connected. I happen to be using the Handytech Modular 64 display. It's a 64-cell display from Handytech. And we're going to go in and select this Braille display and show you how the keystrokes that are set up for it, which were set up by Handytech, and how you can actually interact a little bit with it. I'm not going to go into great details of the display itself, but just show you how you can go into your Braille display and see how it actually works. I'm still sitting at the desktop with WindowEyes running, so I'm going to bring WindowEyes to the foreground. Remember, control backslash is the way to do that. So I'm going to hold down the control key, tap the backslash.
WindowEyes.
And there's WindowEyes. It pronounces itself when it comes up. And I'm going to go back into the file menu. This is the only menu we've been looking at so far. So I'm going to do my Alt-F for file.
F. Save as quill down.
When I say Alt-F, remember I'm holding down the Alt key, keeping it down, and tapping the F key, letting go of both keys then at that point. I'm going to go ahead and just down arrow a couple times.
Manage sets and scripts and quill down.
Okay, that's the first one. Down again.
Select synthesizer. Wide dialog.
That's where you could change your synthesizer if you want to, but down again.
Select Braille display. Read dialog.
Select Braille display. That's what we want to do. So I'm going to hit enter on that. Notice it said select Braille display dialog. Visually, I see select Braille display dot 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 on the menu. That indicates to me as a sighted user that this will actually launch a new dialogue. A dialogue will come up versus just changing an option on or off or something like that. And that's why WindowEyes says dialogue when you do that. So I'm going to hit enter here.
Menu closed. Braille displays. Three. None. List box. 1 of 56. Dialogue. Select Braille display.
Okay, so here we have the Select Braille Display dialog. This is very similar to the dialog that came up when we installed WindowEyes. It gives me a list box of all the Braille displays that are available, from none, which is currently what's selected, to all of the other ones that are out there. And I'm still sitting on the none, so I'm in this list box now, and I can down arrow one time.
Allot 240, 2 of 56.
Remember, these are sorted alphabetically, and this is the first one that was there during the install when we did that as well. But I don't want to have to down arrow several times because there's several Braille displays here. I just want to type in, let's say, an H for the first display that starts with H. So let me hit 1H.
H, Handy Tech Bookworm, 30 of 56.
Okay, not what I want. I'm going to keep hitting H until I hear what I want. So here's one.
H, Handy Tech Railstar 40 and
boom.
H, Handy Tech Railstar 80.
Boom.
H, Handy Tech Railwave.
Boom.
H, Handy Tech Easy Braille.
Boom.
H, Handy Tech Modular 4080. 35
Close.
Of 56.
Not quite. Hit again.
H, Handy Tech Evolution 6488. 36 of 56.
There we go. Handy Tech Evolution 64/88. I have the 64 version right here. Now, the Handy Tech displays, all of the Handy Tech displays, auto-detect and find their displays. All you have to do is tell it which display you're interested in using, and it will go off and find that display. So if I tab from here, I'm going to go to the ports list box.
Ports, P, COM1, list box,
now in
1
this,
of 55.
Excuse me, didn't mean to talk over it. In this case, I don't need to select the COM port. I can leave it set for whatever it is. If you feel comfortable, you know you have it hooked up USB, you can go to USB, but Handy Tech is going to ignore this setting because they're auto-detecting what's going on. So I don't care what the port is in my case. I'm going to hit tab again.
Command line startup L. Module. Read-only. Edit box.
This is a read-only edit box that gives you a command line parameter that if you start up WindowEyes from the command line and you give it a slash, whatever this is here, it will automatically start up WindowEyes with this display. Now, once I select this display, WindowEyes will come up with this display automatically anyway. But let's say I wanted to have it come up with something different than what my default is, I could do that. This is more of an advanced option, so I'm going to go ahead and skip that. But this is where you could get what the command line is for your individual synthesizer that you've selected in this list box. So I'm going to tab again.
OK button.
And now hit OK, or rather enter on OK.
WindowEyes.
Now, verbally, you're not going to notice anything different, but my display is now taken off. Now, it's hard to show a display on a verbal tutorial here, so you're going to have to take my word for it. But the Braille display is now showing, in my case, WindowEyes up on the display, and because that's the option that we just heard, and that's the window that currently has focus. Now, if I were to go through menus or buttons, I could tell that it's a button. I could tell it's a checkbox and whether it's checked or unchecked. Of course, I can get exact spellings and spacings and things like that where speech falls a little bit short or is more difficult, rather, for, let's say, you have two spaces in a line, where with speech, you can turn it on so you hear all spaces, but that gets a little bit annoying and it's hard to catch those, where with Braille, you can catch it much quicker. Or let's say you've got the case of a letter wrong, where speech would just run right over that typically, where here with Braille, you can catch those things. So Braille certainly has its advantages and things like that to be able to deal with that. But I'm not going to get into the philosophies of why Braille is good or bad. I just want to show you how you can actually connect to it. And in this case, now that we've selected the Handy Tech Evolution, I want to show you how I can find out what the keys are available, what factory keys we've set up. WindowEyes gives you great flexibility in being able to customize the display and how you want it. If you don't like the way that our default keys are set up, Handy Tech set up in this case, you can easily change them. You can make keys do different functionalities, reverse keys around, change whatever you want. But obviously, we've given you some good defaults. Now, my WindowEyes control panel is still up. And I'm going to do, instead of Alt F to go in the File menu now, I'm going to hit Alt B, as in Braille, to go into the Braille menu. So I'm going to do Alt, hold it down, and hit B.
B, Braille B pull-down, hotkeys, H dialog.
The first menu option is hotkeys. This is the one that I want to go into, and it's a dialog, so we know that this is going to open up a new window, a dialog window. So I'm going to hit Enter on this.
Menu closed. Keys all applications. S, triple action, down scroll Braille right. List box, 1 of 62. Dialog.
So there are 62... Sorry. There are 62 keys set up by default as factory keys. Again, you can change these. This list box said keys all applications, which means these keys are basically global keys. No matter where I'm at in my Windows sessions, what application, doesn't matter. These keys are available to me from the Braille display. So if I take my hand off of the physical keyboard, bring it onto the Braille display, these keys will do what I want at any point. Now I can make Braille keys active to an application specific. So let's say I'm inside Notepad and I'd rather my keys or special keys or certain keys be Notepad specific. I can do that. So I can have global keys and I can have application specific keys. Typically you're going to use global keys, and I'm not going to talk about application keys, but it's a very powerful feature that allows you to set up very specifically keystrokes that may be more important in certain applications than they are with others, to where maybe you don't want them to be global all the time. You can make them application specific. There's no limit to the number of applications. It's just they're either application specific or global. So if I have an application key and a global key, the application key will take precedence in that application. If I'm not in that application, then of course it's just going to use the global keys or whatever. But anyway, application keys take precedence. If there's no key defined as an application key, it'll look for global. And if it's not in global, then it just won't do anything when you press that particular keystroke. But this list box goes through and displays each of those. So again, we heard the first one. It said triple action down, scroll Braille right. Now, if I hit the triple action down key, then it will scroll the Braille right. That's what that keystroke will do on my Braille display. If I down arrow again,
triple action left center shift tab, 2 of 62.
So triple action left center will do a shift tab. Now again, these are keys on my Braille display, and this is just telling me what will happen when I press those keystrokes. And if I down arrow again,
triple action left center, triple action right center, enter. 3 of 62.
So here, triple action left center, triple action right center. So I'm hitting both of those keys down at once. It will basically send an enter key to my application that I'm sitting at. So again, these Braille keys are very powerful. They can do windowized commands. They can do any combination, any number of windowized commands, or they can just send keystrokes. I could define a Braille key to say sincerely, comma, enter, 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 Douglas Joffrey, if I chose to do that. If I'm doing that a lot, I could hit one Braille key and boom, it's just like sort of a macro. Not very Braille specific, but a good example of how powerful these Braille keys actually are. And you can go continue on down through this list for your Braille display to see how your Braille keys are defined. We used to list these keys in the manual to where all the Braille manufacturers had all their factory keys. The problem is these keys are changing a lot. The Braille display manufacturers are changing them. We're updating them. We're getting customer feedback. So the manual was very quickly outdated. So we decided not to put the factory settings for all the Braille keys in the manual, but give you this very simple dialog that you can go to just find out what those keys are defined as. While we're in this dialog, I'm going to tab around again just to kind of show you some of the functionality here. I'm not going to go into great detail of this, but I want to show you what you can do inside this Braille hotkey dialog. I'm going to tab one time.
Capture Braille key. C. Button.
This is a button that when I hit enter on this, it will basically allow me to press any key combination on my Braille display that's physically supported by my Braille display. And WindowEyes will capture that combination. I can press a single key, or again, assuming my Braille display supports combinations of keys, I can press however many keys I want or physically can press. WindowEyes will capture those keys. And the reason we want to capture them is because we want to define those keys to do a functionality, or maybe we just quickly want to find out what that key is already defined as. So if I were to press one of these keys we already heard, like triple action down, which was the first option, if I were to capture that key now, it would say key already defined and take me to that option in the list box. And then I can just find out exactly what that item does. Or if it's not defined, it will create that entry in my list box. And then I can actually assign functionality to that key press that I've assigned or that I set up. So I'm going to hit enter, or rather tab off of this to go to the next control.
Key function S, F, enter, combo box, 1 of 1.
So these are key functions of this particular key. It's a combo box that would allow you to show item by item by item of what this particular function does. And in this case, it only does one function, so it only had one entry, and it's the enter, which means this combination that I was on, remember I stayed on the triple action center, triple action right center, and this produces an enter key. So this is a way that I can go through them individually through this combo box to see what those functionalities does of this keystroke. If I tab again.
Add hotkey, H. Dialogue.
Let's say I wanted to add a hotkey to this. So first, the enter key is the first command here. If I were to add a hotkey like, oh, I don't know, read title bar, read status, or route mouse to top of the window, or whatever I want to be able to do, all the windowized functionality, and there's a lot of it in there, it would just do that. And I could continue to add hotkey after hotkey after hotkey. There's absolutely no limit to the number of hotkeys that you can define, and it'll just keep adding on to the end of that. That's how I can make functionality into my Braille keys. So in my case, I'm on a key that's already defined. I could have probably just defined a brand new key and set it up the way that I want it. Tab again.
Add keystroke. K button.
Here's where I can add a keystroke. If I hit enter on this, it'll say press keystroke. And here I would go back to my real keyboard and press a key combination, and WindowEyes would capture that key and say, okay, Control Alt F12, that's what this Braille key is going to produce when that Braille key is pressed, whatever key combination you want. And again, I could add keystroke after keystroke. I can intermix that with hotkeys, keystrokes, whatever combination I want. I can just keep adding and adding and adding and adding to this particular Braille key that I've defined. Tab again.
Add custom keystroke. You. Dialogue.
Add custom. Oops. Add custom keystroke is another way of adding keystrokes, but unfortunately, the operating system eats certain key presses. For instance, if I just wanted to send the Windows key, which typically brings up the start menu, the operating system eats that keystroke. WindowEyes doesn't really see it by itself and pops up the start menu. Well, if we go into the Add Custom Keystroke, there are checkboxes for all the modifiers like Control and Shift and Alt, Insert, Windows Key, Context Key, Insert Key, all of these. I could just check one of those boxes and say, I just want to send that modifier. Or I want to send that modifier with W. And that's just a more advanced way of being able to set up the specific keystrokes if I can't actually type them from the keyboard without the operating system doing something with those key presses. Tab again.
Clear entry. E button.
Clear entry will actually just clear the individual entry that's selected in my combo box. So let's say I've set up 20 different commands that I want this particular Braille key to do, but I said, oh, that first one isn't right, I don't want it there. You can just select it in the combo box and say clear entry, and boom, it will actually clear that entry out, so you'll be left with the remaining options that are there. Tab again.
Clear key, L button.
Clear key actually takes all the functionality that you've defined for this Braille key and clears them all out. So if you had 20 functions and key press combinations, things that you're doing, this would just clear it out and allow you to start from scratch. Tab again.
Delete key, D button.
Delete key allows me to actually delete this particular key combination. So if I just don't want this Braille combination to do anything, I can just hit enter here and it will delete this option from that list box. It will not even show that key combination up there. Tab again.
Keys apply to all applications. A, radio button. Checked.
So
one
this,
of two.
Oops. This is the radio button that allows me to decide whether the keys that I'm defining are application specific or are global rather. So all applications would be global or current application only. The current application is the window that was active when you popped up the WindowEyes control panel. So if I were in Notepad, pressed Control / Alt B and hit Enter, which would bring this dialog up, then the application specific would be Notepad. And the list box would then empty out of all the global ones and only show me the application specific hotkeys. And I can go through and define all these keys, as we said before, that way. If I were to change the radio button now, it would show me all the active applications, in this case for the desktop, because that's where I popped it up. And there are none, so I'm not going to bother with that. So if I tab again.
OK button.
I'm on the OK button. Hitting Enter would then save everything that I just did. If I tab again.
Cancel button.
Cancel would abort everything. So if I deleted keys, added keys, whatever, and I hit Enter on Cancel, all of those changes would be lost. So anything that you do, if you cancel out, it's all lost. If you want to save it, you've got to hit Enter on OK. So I didn't really save anything or do anything anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and hit Escape out of this. But that's how you can actually see those hotkeys and how to define the hotkeys. While we're here, I'm just going to quickly go through some of the other Braille options. I'm going to do an Alt-B again to bring back the Braille menu.
Braille pull-down, hotkeys, H dialog.
And I'm going to, and this was the hotkey dialog, but I'm going to down arrow to the next option.
Options, O dialog.
Options dialog. Let me hit Enter here.
Menu closed. Gray 2. Enabled. 3. Checkbox. Unchecked. Dialog. Braille options.
This is Braille options. It allows you to set up a lot of the Braille functionality for a beginning user. Again, remember we have advanced users and intermediate users, so we've kind of shielded you from some of the Braille options even and a lot of the other options. But I'm just going to talk about the beginning user ones. The first option is Gray 2 enabled, and it said unchecked. Kind of a double negative or whatever. But it's basically saying Gray 2 is not enabled because this isn't checked. If you want Gray 2 enabled, just hit the space bar.
Space. Checked. Enabled. Three. Checkbox.
So now enabled is checked. So Gray 2 Braille is now enabled. If I hit space again.
Space. Unchecked. Enabled. Three. Checkbox.
Now if I tab to the next option.
Gray 2. Auto untranslated cursor. C. Checkbox. Unchecked.
Auto untranslated cursor is an option that means if you do have grade 2 enabled and the cursor is sitting on a word, it will automatically untranslate that particular word with the cursor. So if you have a line and you're reading through it, the nice thing about this is that you see character for character for character on your Braille display as the cursor moves to it. If you have this unchecked, which it is by default, then the word will remain grade 2 throughout your entire line, regardless if the cursor is moving on it. If I tab again.
Grade 2. Translate symbols. T. Checkbox. Unchecked.
The translator used for English, anyway, is Duxbury's Grade 2 Braille Translator. They have an option that says, should you translate the symbols, which typically aren't Grade 2 symbols, should you translate them into some characters on your Braille display, or should you spell it out? For instance, should you say at sign, or should you say dollar sign, or whatever, or should you actually translate that into a Braille symbol that's on there? Tab again.
8. Braille. D. Checkbox. Unchecked.
Should you be using 8-dot Braille or 6-dot Braille? If you have it unchecked, you're using 6-dot Braille. Now, if you're using grade 2, it automatically switches you to the 6-dot Braille. You can't select 8-dot Braille while you're using grade 2. But for people that prefer not to use grade 2 but like 8-dot Braille, you can use this. I should mention that we are using Unicode here, so Braille will display all of the keys, all the Unicode keys, which are characters, which are all the characters that are out there. And there are tables that allow you to define what these individual keys should display. And that's more advanced type of an option. We're not going to get into that. But these tables by default will show you all the major keys that you would expect to see in Braille. If I continue to tab.
Auto update timeout view 500. Edit box.
Auto update timeout allows me to set the amount of time that WindowEyes will automatically display the text under the mouse pointer on the Braille display. So remember, we talked about if the mouse is sitting on a line that's constantly updating, maybe it's 5% done, 10% done, whatever, I'm seeing this text. If we put the mouse on that line, the Braille display will automatically go off, in this case, every 500 milliseconds, which is every half a second. There's 1,000 milliseconds in a second. So every twice a second, it's going to go out there and get the new line under the mouse and display it under the Braille display. Again, just constantly out there updating. So you can speed this up or slow this down based on the amount of milliseconds that you want it to be here. Tab again.
Quick message mode. On with timeout. Radio button. Checked. 3 of 3.
Quick message mode. There are three radio buttons here. It says disabled. Remember, quick message mode is my Braille display is showing the line, let's say, under the cursor. And let's say, and you've heard this happen to me, some tooltips will pop up. Windows will put up a message visually that I can see this little tooltip come up like a balloon help and give me some information that WindowEyes automatically read. That would be a quick message. We don't want to take you away from the line that you're currently displaying, but we also don't want you to miss these tooltips. Now, speech will just speak it right out. It's not a big deal. But with Braille, what do you do? And so we have this quick message mode that will momentarily take away what you were looking at, put in this quick message, and depending on the amount of seconds that you want it up there, we default to 2, but you can change this. It will stay up there for 2 seconds and then go back to what was there. Now, if you start arrowing or you change focus, then we immediately take it away as well because you just don't want to see the tooltip. You just want to keep arrowing through your line, then boom, it will automatically track back to your line as well. But you can disable the quick message mode completely. You can turn it on to where there's no timeout, meaning it will stay there until you do arrow or change focus around. Or the default is on with timeout, meaning it will stay there automatically, but after 2 seconds, it will just go back to what was there before. All this is configurable in this dialog. Tab again.
Timeout seconds. 2. Edit box.
Because I had the on with timeout selected, it took me to an edit box that said, what is the timeout value? And 2 seconds is the default. Tab again.
Attribute marking. Enabled. Checkbox. Checked.
So attribute markings, do you want to see highlighted, bold, underline, italic, strikeout, or all of these type of attributes? And if you don't want to see any of them, you can just uncheck this and we won't bother showing you the attributes of the characters. Now, if you come across a character that's, let's say, bolded, then it will automatically put up dots 7 and 8. Even if you're in 6-dot Braille, if you have this enabled, it will put up dots 7 and 8 for you for those particular characters. So we have this enabled by default. Now, what does it mean? What attributes specifically are you interested in? And that's the next control. So let me tab again.
Attribute marking, highlight, radio button, checked, 1 of 6.
So notice there are 6 radio buttons here, and highlight is the one that's checked, which means only dot 7 and 8 will come up if the text is highlighted. It's going to ignore bold and underline and italic and strikeout and all. Now I can arrow through all of these things, and I can say, no, I'd rather hear bold, or I'd rather see underline or whatever, or you can say, I don't care, I want all of them. And you can select through this radio button what particular attributes you are interested in, if any. If you're not interested, uncheck that enabled checkbox up there. Tabbing again.
Spacing. Show and dents. Checkbox. Unchecked.
So the next couple controls have to do with spacing. Now, typically on a Braille display, you want to compact it down because your Braille is very expensive to begin with, and you don't want to waste a lot of your Braille displays with empty spaces and things like that. So we typically try to collapse the line down. We don't show you the indentions on the left. We try to collapse the spacing. So again, we're getting the most out of your Braille displays. But if you are interested in formatting and you do want to know what's going on, this show indents will let you see how many characters are to the left of your line. So if you were to hit space here, we would then start showing you the indentations of each line as you're, let's say, in your notepad or your Word or whatever. We would show you that indentation. Tap again.
Spacing. Collapse extra spacing. Radio button. Checked. One of two.
Collapse extra spacing. Now, it won't collapse spaces. If there are spaces in your line, we won't collapse those spaces. But if there are gaps in your line, let's say you're reviewing with the mouse pointer and you have some text on the left and then there's a big gap on the screen and there's more text to the right, we'll get rid of that gap. It's not spaces, it's just a gap, and we'll suck that together and basically represent that big gap with one space on the Braille display. Now there's another option down here called Show Extra Spacing. That's the second radio button here. If I select that, then it says, okay, I'll show you that gap, but how do I represent that in Braille? Because again, it's not like in the old DOS days where, you know, one space represented a gap. Here you actually have a gap. There's no spaces, it's just a gap. And so what we can do here is we can count the distance between the text on the left and the text on the right, and basically take that in pixels. Your screen resolution is defined by pixels between the text there. And so we'll count those number of pixels, and we can divide them by the factor that you give us, and it defaults to 5, which means every 5 pixels, we will represent that as one Braille cell, empty cell on your Braille display. So if you want to see that extra spacing, and you can then tell us what your factor is and how many pixels per space, and we'll give you then a good representation of how your text may be lined up the best that we can with Braille. Tabbing again.
OK button.
Takes me to the OK button, so it just takes me all the way around. Those are all the options in the Braille options dialog. Let me escape out of that. Again, I didn't make any settings. If I did make a setting, I'd have to hit enter on this to accept those settings. Otherwise, they would be lost. So in case I did change something accidentally, I'm going to hit escape to abort those.
Window eyes.
I'm going to do Alt-B again to bring down the Braille menu.
Braille pull-down. Hotkeys. H dialog.
I'm going to down arrow to the next one.
Options. O dialog.
That's what we just talked about. Down again.
Apply Braille settings to all programs.
Now let's say you've the settings that we did up there are actually set file specific, and a set file is typically defined for an application. So let's say I'm in Notepad and I've turned on Grade 2 Braille. Well, Grade 2 Braille is going to work great in Notepad, but then let's say you start up Word, Microsoft Word. You'll find your Grade 2 just turned off on you. And that's because these options are set file specific, which is actually a good thing, because let's say inside Word you probably want Grade 2, but maybe in Excel you don't, or whatever. You can certainly adjust that the way that you want. But let's say that I do want my setting to be global. I want Grade 2 on 100% of the time, and I don't want to have to go into all my 500 programs and bring it up and turn Grade 2 Braille on. So what I can do is get the settings the way that I want them, go down to this Apply Braille Settings to All Programs, and hit Enter. This will then take my current settings, however they currently are, and apply them to all of my set files that I have on my disk, which makes it a great way to just globally make those Braille changes. So that's an important thing to remember. If you do want your changes to be stored throughout all your applications, get them the way you want them, and then go back in here. Now, some of the settings are global no matter what. We talked about the hotkeys. Those global hotkeys are already there. Those aren't set file specific. Those are global hotkeys. And the same is true with even application Braille hotkeys. You can't apply those to all your applications. If you did, make them global. That would be the way to do it. So let me go down to the last option.
Braille window off.
Braille window. This is a visual window that it's currently off. If I were to turn this on, everything that you see on your Braille display would actually be represented visually up on the top of my Windows screen. So if you have sighted people working with you, or low vision, or whoever that would like to see what's currently being displayed on the Braille display, can turn this option on and that Braille window will be up there. You can just turn this on and off this way. Again, there's a lot more Braille options, but you would have to set your Braille menu options to intermediate or advanced, which I'll show you how to do that much later on in a different section. But I still suggest that you would just go back to the manual and you can consult all that. So there's a great deal of power with your Braille display. Later on in this tutorial, many of the options will be discussed in some detail. So we've already talked about a lot of them, but I'll show you how you can turn on the advanced options, and then you can go in and experiment some of those options yourself. You should consult Section 18 of the WindowEyes Manual for a complete description of all available features. So everything I discussed and all the other options that would be there if you increase your menu level to intermediate or advanced, the Section 18 will discuss all of those. And of course, don't forget about your Braille display, or rather your Braille hotkey dialog, to get a listing of all the currently defined keystrokes for your Braille display so you know best how to use your Braille display effectively with WindowEyes. So that concludes this particular section on your Braille display. Hopefully it's given you a good overview, get you comfortable with your Braille display, shows you how to get your keystrokes, how you can set up some of your basic options, and then Section 18 will take you the rest of the way. Let's go on to the next section.